My name is Brad Buser. We got a few more folks coming in here. That's okay. It's okay.
You can just leave out there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll assume that we're who's coming. My wife and I arrived in Papua New Guinea. In 1979, we had two little children at the time. Any of you, this is rehash for. In time, as they got a little bit older, living where we were, boarding school was a situation that we had to take seriously as far as one of the options that were out there. We'll talk about this in the course of the discussion here. But quick sexualization is very common in contexts where missionaries are going to, in the sense of, man, they're made aware of things much earlier than you as parents would choose to make them aware. And so being the case, as things got going forward, my wife and I did put our kids in the boarding school. After a few years, I was put on the board of the boarding school. After a few more years, I was put on the board, the disciplinary committee of the boarding school. So actually served on a boarding school committee for 13 years in New Guinea, and then on the disciplinary for 10 years. So what we're bringing to you isn't just our own personal experience with our four children that we raised in New Guinea, but actually and brings some of the issues into it as far as seeing other ones that have been successful in having their kids in a high stress situation. And that's what missions is. There are very few. In fact, I know of only one book that I recommend for missionaries going overseas, okay, because it just doesn't cover. The typical parenting book that's written in the USA doesn't really take into account the evacuations, the quick sexualization, the movings around, the dislocations, not having coaches, uncles, aunts, youth pastors, so many of the support things that go into parenting here in the USA for your missionaries going overseas. That's just not going to be the case. So what I'm going to do today is just walk you through a PowerPoint that it's mostly made up for our students, okay? And we spend hours on what we call high-stress parenting down there with our students at Radius, getting them ready. And one of the reasons is this. The number one reason for missionary turnover overseas is family issues. That can be husband, wife, it can be parent, child, but make no mistake about it. And it rarely makes it into the prayer letters. It's just, that's just too personal. It's too awkward. And so it'll be, and I saw this on the field. I've seen this coming back from the field that missionaries don't want to talk about that. And I understand it. So anyway, slow me down. Just raise a hand if there's an interjection. My wife is in the back. So if I'm getting too far afield, or if you want to ask my wife a question on this, that's totally fair too. And she'll throw me under the bus if I start outright lying. Sorry? Quick something twice? Quick sexualization. Being in climates, in villages where they're seeing everything at 4 years old, 5 years old. And, some of that's you can handle. We had one daughter that we raised out there that provided its own unique set of challenges. We were very thankful that we had two big boys that were growing up ahead of her, and that was God's provision for us, we felt, in many ways. But that's the word there. Yeah, any other questions? And I'm fine to set the whole PowerPoint aside and just go Q&A, if that's not the case, we'll just move through some issues here. Okay. This is a basic starting point. And folks, before we get into the particulars of parenting, when we talk to Radius students, we have to reestablish the biblical basis of family. We walk with Radius students through the book of Luke, and we take every single instance that Jesus touched on family, because we have to recalibrate. We'll talk a lot down there about thriving. That has been a very non-helpful term. Man, as missionaries, and honestly, and I'm going to focus on missions because that's what we're doing at Radius is training missionaries. But the amount of traction and press that the word thriving has really been unhelpful for missionaries today. We need to train our people to endure. Thriving rarely comes into the mix, okay? The days that you're thriving, the seasons where things are great, that's wonderful. Enjoy it. Smell the roses, okay? Man, make note of that day. but for our kids and our parents to endure. We start by going through the book of Luke. This is just only one passage. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned to them and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about hating our children. But what he wants to establish there, and this is just one passage where he's establishing, in contrast to your love for your wife and your children, my love, your love for me is to be so supreme, this looks like hatred. My first and primary responsibility is to be faithful to the Lord my God. And most of the time, my faithfulness to the Lord my God is good for my wife and good for my kids. But there are times when that's not the case. And we need to understand that. My faithfulness as the leader of our home to the Lord my God has brought my wife and my kids into danger. And I need to know that. And we see that throughout the scriptures. It's interesting as we get into the book of Acts, and we spend a long time in there. We never read about the fallout on Peter's wife and kids or any of the other apostles' wife and kids. Those weren't primary issues. The gospel going forward is the primary issue. Now, please don't think of me as, man, I'm some hard-hearted guy. I hate my wife. I hate my kids. We've got three of our kids here. You can talk to our kids, okay? So it can be done. And for our kids to understand, my first responsibility is the Lord my God. That actually brought my kids stability. They knew what was leading the charge in our family. For mom and dads that are wobbly on that, you'll bring wobbliness to your kids too. Now, when dads especially, and dads have to bring that, they have to lead with that for the family to do well. And again, seeing so many families that did do well, it came from dads that were confident. This is what God has for us. It's going to be hard on me, and it's going to be hard on you, honey, and it's going to be hard on the kids. This is what he has for us. So I only threw that in there. So biblically, we understand we enjoy the good days, but we're not addicted to good days. We would love our kids to all do well in life, but if they don't, we're prepared for that too. Okay, proper expectations are critical. And again, this is one of the reasons Radius got started. As Beth and I came back in 1999, going around seeing missionaries that had come home from the field after 3 or 4 or 5 years. Man, they'd left jobs. People had sent them out, man, laying hands on them in front of their churches, supporting them, giving them sacrificially to keep them overseas. And then coming back, man, the broken people that came back from the field. And the expectations that they had, what did you think was going to happen over there? The words like thriving. Man, they weren't thriving. I'm thriving, my wife's thriving, but my second son isn't thriving. You know, and everything goes wobbly then. What do we expect in the realm of in marriage? Man, when the people are touching your wife. Man, when you're in a third world country and man, your space is being impacted, what did you think is going to happen? And so that's critical in the realm of family and in parenting, man, that we have proper expectations for our kids. Thrive or endure, man, the gap between those two is quite large. And man, to be able to bring that mindset into our missionary candidates out at Radius is such a helpful step when they finally get past that thrive culture. It seems like then they're free to accept whatever God has from them. When they set aside the lure, the idealistic things that came into the first thing. That's why even in our conference here, we're not rah-rah, shish-goomba, you know, let's all stand up and come forward and let's think this through. Let's think this through. In the realm of parenting especially, will your parenting style allow you to finish? The reality is family issues, top of the list. Man, we see different parenting styles. I'll be honest with you. As students come down to Radius, within the first 5 days, we have our first parenting session. Because before we get to know who's doing family in a healthy way versus who is doing family in a non-healthy way, before we know the details of their parenting style, it's a lot easier to get stuck right into it. Okay, because it's not about this is what we expect at Radius. We know what it's going to take for you to finish on the field. And if your kids are out of control, you have no chance. You have zero, and I mean that, folks, you have zero chance of making it on the field long term. You could start well, but when Johnny turns 13, if he hasn't been under control of dad when he's 2 and 3 years old, 13 years old, he is taking you off the field. And we've had partners that were lost to that. I know what it takes to get you out of the tribe. And if you continue to put me in the boarding school, I'm out of here. wasn't the boarding school issue. It was a parenting issue. And the parents did the right thing. They took Johnny out of the boarding school, and they had to relocate and leave their whole ministry in the tribe when they were at some of their most effective times on the field. And that's the bummer about missionary attrition due to family, is generally it's in the later years or in the years after you've gone through the first two or three years, and maybe mom and dad are beginning to get effective, and then it kicks in. So-and-so, one of the kids, or maybe it's the wife, isn't on the team still. They haven't been able to stay energized. Not happy, but biblically grounded. This is why we're enduring what we're enduring. And so again, the parenting style is a key component in them being able to stay on the field. And so we get into that very, very quickly. Why do we talk about parenting? These are young families. It's part of our job as trainers. They're young families, and they have been impacted by a North American culture that is oftentimes more about the child finding himself, coming to his fullest capacity, recognizing his strengths and weaknesses. And inadvertently, a lot of Christian parents, man, do actually have the world orbiting around their child. That's just not going to work. And to soft shoe around that, we're not doing these young families any help by not hitting this issue head on. And we care about their kids as Christ followers. Not only do we want their kids to add luster to the gospel, we want their kids to be able to actually sit under dad's, initially it's dad's authority, so they can hear God's word and be trained up, meant to be genuine Christ followers too, having their spirits under the control of the Spirit of God eventually. So we care about the kids too. We care about the kids enhancing the gospel ministry. Man, we saw families that actually were able to function in a tribal context, but one of the children undermined the whole ministry. The translation work went forward. You can do that with a train wreck going on within the family. But as far as the church, the teaching of God's word, when the people in the village can see actually that, hey, this guy here, this kid is completely out of control. And when the little 14, 13, 14-year-old boy's hormones start kicking in and he's looking at the tribal girls and he's been raised in that situation, boy, they can undermine the gospel. And so, man, for our children, and yet, man, I can remember, you know, Brooks and Brandon, especially as they got into their latter teenage years, man, going out with the E-Teddy people, enhancing the gospel. Man, when our kids came back from the boarding school on break time, and boarding school, we'll talk a little bit about that, not a fun option. It is an option. It must remain an option, okay? It's not like you have good options and bad options. You have a bunch of tough options when you're overseas. But man, our kids coming home from the boarding school, man, the E-Teddy is waiting for them. And our kids being able to go out and speak in the language with the E-Teddies and having grown up among them, it was just like having more missionaries there among the E-Teddy people. So man, our kids can enhance the gospel. When they're raised long-term in that situation, boy, the blessing they can be. It's not just you're dragging them out there. And I will admit this, when my wife and I were on the airplane heading to New Guinea, Brandon was 6 months old, Brooks was 2.5. The biggest fear we had was for our kids. Now, what about my kids? What about my kids? I will say this, as we left New Guinea, it didn't take that long. It didn't take 20 years. But as we look back on our time there, the biggest blessing was being able to share the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing a church established among the E-Teddy people, head and shoulders. Come on. That was, God, what a thrill, what a privilege. But after that, raising our kids there. Even with all the cases of malaria and dengue fever and hepatitis and all the evacuations and all the, you know, hostage taking and all the separations and the character that God built on our kids. And sometimes God just stops us in our tracks with the downsides, the difficulties of raising our kids in a missionary context. But honestly, and that's not just our family. Our family isn't a one-off exception. We know of many families that we saw raised in the beginning. And man, their kids, they love the Lord Jesus. They've been mentored by Uncle Wayne and Aunt Gail. They've been mentored by Uncle Tim and Aunt Carol. Mentored by these other missionaries that were out there. And man, heroes of faith. And so man, we considered it a great privilege to raise our kids. And of course, that took a few years for us to have that new perspective. But too often, boarding school, he hates Jesus. Those stories are out there, and they are out there. I'll say this, sitting on the board of the disciplinary committee for 10 years, without exception, and I saw great missionaries, I would put the kids not doing well overseas at the feet of the parents, okay? And man, just not, and we'll get into some aspects of that. But anyway, we care about the kids enhancing the gospel. We care about their kids' survival, physically, just physically. If you can't stop your kid in his tracks with your voice by the age of two, boy, your kid's going to get really hurt overseas. And that doesn't mean yelling and screaming. That just means, Buzz, stop. And they stop. And, oh, that sounds like you're training a dog. Yep. Pretty close, okay? We're not going to apologize for that. Man, we're going into some incredibly scary, difficult, dangerous situations. And this isn't just for the physicality of it, but actually for their character development. Okay, so we'll. This is stuff that we get into down there. You are affected by the parenting around you. It is impossible for parents to come from the wonderful communities that they come from, bring their families down to Mexico where the school is, and then bring them from there overseas to not be affected by the different parenting styles. And so nobody wants to look like, you know, Cro-Magnon man, some Stone Age guy dragging his wife around by the hair, and, you know, kids, stop. You know, that looks pretty weird, actually, in many contexts today. And so to realize how that can have inroads into our thinking there. Man, having clear biblical expectations, man, it's just critical. So our children are not innocent. They're sinners. They're born going the wrong direction. Okay, they're wonderful. They're lovely. We enjoy them immensely. I can't even root now. So now we got to train them. Where they're going is uncharted territory. We already mentioned that. The separations involved. We will talk about that very early on at Radius. We typically, in our first week, there's a lot of tears. A lot of tears. Moms and dads, as they look at this issue for the first time. Now it's not theoretical. Now it's a possibility. And it's not a probability, and especially with the homeschooling curriculum, that's much more workable now than when we were had our kids in school. It's not a go-to slam dunk that you're going to have to be separated, but it's not healthy for anybody to go overseas thinking, I will not be separated from my kids. Don't draw lines in the sand with God. That's just a very unhealthy place to start. And so, man, to take our fingers off of the triggers, I'll do anything but, is just a very tenuous position to start. Separations are probably the biggest boogeyman scary issue. And, man, I get it. To put our, man, at one point we were putting three of our kids on that little Cessna every few months and seeing them fly off, held on by that one little propeller in the air. And, man, did our heart get crushed on a regular basis. And we found that, man, God's grace, and one, as we talk with families down there, not just about that, but about some of the other things that they're going to go through. We walk students through numerous horrific, real scenarios that have happened in the course of history. We want them to visualize that, and we want them always to end that horrific scenario with, and God's grace shows up at that time. It always does. It always does. We don't get preemptive grace. We don't get grace as we're thinking about the possibility. But on the worst days, God's grace is there. He does enable us to endure. And, man, so, man, separation's a tough one. Hostage taking. Our family got evacuated twice as rebels were coming over the border to take individuals or families, or even better. To be a North American passport person, you are a high-value target. Missionaries rarely die of diseases today. They get taken hostage, and they get shot, okay? And you're a high-value target. Hey, Greg, good to see you guys. harassments. Man, the casual harassments. Man, it was my granddaughter. It was so fun to be with her. We were up at the local grocery store. And she's now a young woman of 15 years old. And she's with my wife and I. She says, man, it's just so fun. Everybody's not looking at me. Man, it doesn't even need to be touched, but to be that person you're always looked at, you're always scoped. You can't dress in baggy enough clothes. Oh, get that out of your head right now. You're a foreign woman from overseas, and you're just a target. You're always a target. And in the local situation, not so much a difficulty where we were living among the Teddies, but whenever we went out of that village. Man, my wife, my daughter, always. Man, that just wears you down. the relocations. We've talked a little bit about that. A little support from family, coaches, youth pastors. As parents here, we have such a support network, and I don't have to necessarily be thinking about every single minute of my child's day because of those different people that have authority in their life, and most of the time that works out really, really well. If your antenna isn't spinning 360 degrees as a mom and dad, something's going to catch them. Man, you don't get to mail it in. One of the reasons I got on the board of the boarding school, I wanted to make sure the boarding school was doing its job. Okay, I wanted to make sure that those dorm parents were as fully invested in this task of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth as I was. They weren't there just as teachers. And we saw some missionary MK's boarding school teachers. Well, I'm just here to teach English. That's not good enough. Dorm parents, I'm just here to care for kids. Guys, that's not good enough. Man, we want you to understand and be behind this task that we're about. You've got to continue to win my kids' heart to this while my kids aren't under my authority here. You've got to understand why we're going through what we're going through. Even the separation, you've got to understand this. And so to be a part of that thing, man, you don't have the support network that I can bank on here in the USA with aunts, uncles, and everybody else, and coaches and all that stuff, youth pastors that care about my kids. That's up to mom and dad. And some mom and dads bring enough background. And in our current age, that's not always the case. There's a lot of dysfunctional homes in the USA. The breakdown of the home has really leached its way into the missionary world. So fewer and fewer people come into the world of missions actually having come out of a home where they saw mom doing her job. They saw dad doing his job. They bring that into their next home. That was my case. I didn't grow up doing that. And I was able to learn a lot of that from my wife as she schooled me, because she did grow up in a normal home, okay? I didn't. But this is the world of missions today. Historically, just backing up the truck here a little bit, how many of you would put forward an answer to the historic reason for number one reason for missionary turnover? I'm sorry? Yeah, probably. I think you're hitting in the bigger circle there. But a conflict, missionary conflict. Historically, absolutely the case. A lot of alpha male and females in that world. And the inability to handle conflict. But honestly, and that, it wasn't just me, but a lot of us began to see in the early 1990s the change in that. As families begin to erode, focused on the family, a lot of these institutions come into existence because of the degrading of the American family. But families going sideways in the USA all over the place. And we began to see people that had, they'd come out of more dysfunctional families coming to the field in the 1990s. And family, began to see that there. Just the absolute attrition that came really from mom and dad not able to keep the kids on the team. So these things that happen in the States, the lack of support, it does bleed eventually onto the field and impact issues on the field. And again, sexualized more quickly. I remember as we were getting ready to leave New Guinea, and my wife and I were blessed. We were blessed with good health. We were blessed even with good coworkers, and our kids had good health. And the Lord, sometimes I felt like the Lord had put a hedge around us, like, Brad, you're such a wimp. I'm not going to let anything really hard get into your life here. But I was sitting on the in the gymnasium up at the headquarters where New Tribes has its base in the highlands of New Guinea, and our kids had gone through school there. And I was sitting on the little deck with one of the field leaders, and he said this. He said, Brad, the day and age where we see somebody actually go into a tribe and start it and do all that you guys have done and be able to finish that day and age may be over. I looked at him and said, Larry, don't you ever say that. Don't you ever say that again. That's, folks, if we cave into that, missionary turnover is inevitable. I planted, Apollos watered, and so on, God reaped. I get that as, we're talking about the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, okay? But as far as going into a setting, man, to start and to run the race and to finish has to be our goal. As missionaries that are going to be doing it, as churches that are sending, it is not wise, and it's not helpful for the people that are there to actually have planned obsolescence, okay? They're only good for this amount of years. We saw tribal works. That wasn't the plan, but we saw that the more there was missionary turnover, the harder the hearts became of those people that were trying to be reached. That's the downside of turnover. Turnover isn't natural, okay? We don't do that in the parenting role. Well, I'm really good with young kids, and honey, let's have a bunch of little guys, and then when they get like into the 9 and 10-year-old age, we'll cast them off to these guys. And then for the teen years, we know the Harmons over here are really good with teenagers. No, we don't do that with our kids. We run the distance with them, okay? And we do that with the churches that we plant, too, and the areas that we go into, because of the lead time that it takes. And so the whole issue, the whole idea of, well, just do it for a few years, while your kids are in this space of life. Could I plead with you on behalf of the people, groups that they're going to, don't even give traction to that. Those people will get hard because the relationships that they make with you, the first people in, are so critical. They're so real. They're so vital. They're going to put their trust in those first people that come in with this great message. And so, man, we cannot be. And this is something, yeah, it's a heavy. We put it on radio students. If God gives you the privilege and honor of actually being the first ambassadors to go in there, you stay no matter how many family members you bury. You stay. You stay. You stay. There's something bigger at stake here. And I know that's pretty radical. That's just the reality of it. The people group is going to be getting harder and harder hearts. Back to parenting. First issue. That really, as we talk about parenting in this way, do they have a positive, age-appropriate relationship with their child? All that we teach on parenting is based off of the premise that the child knows that I'm here for you, you're safe with me, I know you, I love you, I care about you, I'm committed to you, I will protect you from your tendencies, even when you do not agree with me. Man, that foundation, when they're 3 months old, 6 months old, you know, 18 months old, man, that love, that care, we can't get into the other aspects of reigning in their character and their actions until this has been firmly established, okay? And too often, parents do wake up to, my kid's out of control, and now he's 6 years old, but this is not in place. It's really difficult. I don't know as I'd go so far as to say it's impossible, but it's very difficult if this understanding, and you know, the kid's not going to be able to say that. Probably the parent to say that isn't going to mean much, but he's got to be living this out, that age-appropriate relationship to where corporal punishment can do the job it's intended to do. If this isn't in place, corporal punishment can sometimes just infuriate and make things worse, and so that oftentimes is why people set aside the whole issue there. Okay, what is our goal as parents? man, I appreciate how Francis Chan, and honestly, this book that Francis, and you might have a lot of different things about Francis, but I'll say this. His book on parenting, his book on the family, pretty darn good. And that, and he started off, he wanted to send the book to the publishers, Marriage Isn't So Great. They wouldn't accept that title. They said it would impact sales too much, okay? But he was trying to get the North American church off of this idea that my wedding day and my marriage to my wife, that's the epicenter of joy and meaning in life. That's what it's all about. As much as I appreciate the teachings of focus on the family, what it has caused us to do is to focus on the family. And Francis is trying to pull our eyes away from that. So he says, or even now I'm working to make sure that my family is set up for the future. When most people make that statement, they're talking about financial security. People accuse me of going overboard and preparing for my first 10 million years in eternity. In my opinion, people go overboard and worrying about their last 10 years on earth. I remember teaching at Francis's College a few years ago, and we went through that passage that we started with, and I know many of you kind of came in a little bit later. We were walking through that passage with the students at Eternity Bible College, Luke 14, if any man comes to me doesn't hate father, mother, son, daughter, that passage there. And it's kind of intimidating when Francis is sitting in the front like that. And so finally got done, and I prayed and sat down. And he said, guys, sit down. The whole chapel's getting ready to get up and leave. And he said this. He stood up, came up to the front. He said this, and Francis, you know, he doesn't say these things offhand. He's thought this through. He says, folks, what you've just heard is God's word. And it's true. And I want you to know that in comparison to my love for the Lord Jesus, I hate Lisa Chan. I hate Rachel Chan. And he went through the list of his, at that time I think it was 3 children, maybe 4, it's a few more now. There's a boldness to that and an audacity, and obviously for them to hear that backhandedly would not be of great benefit. But to get our eyes off of family first, and very clearly, in the first few hours that students are there as Radius students, we address this. If family first is an untouchable idea in your mind, God bless you. He probably has something different for you. But to sit through this Radius 10-month course and to go overseas, don't waste your life. Don't waste the lives of your church. If family first is an untouchable idea to you, we take family seriously. I have great responsibilities to my wife and to my children. But family first, no. Because at some point, God did ask Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And do not buy into that false exegetical idea. Well, he knew he would get Abraham back. He had already given up Ishmael. God had already taken his first son, and he never saw Ishmael again. So it was in no place resident in Abraham's mind, I'll get Isaac back too. God can ask, and at times he has asked the unthinkable. Okay, we are here to carry out his wishes, his plan. It's not about us, and it's not about my kids. Now, that please hear both sides of that. I must do both really, really well. Okay. God's word to our children, and we're not going to get into this. We just don't have time. I want to stop my roll here. Any questions? Said a couple things here that might be news. Okay. The basic premise of Scripture is the attitude that children are to have toward parents is this, you know, all throughout. Honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. This is the basic relationship that children have with parents. And again, this isn't the lord of the manor dad talking here. This is in the context of what we've already talked about. They know I love them. They know I'm on their side. Man, you're horsing around with it. You're playing with your kids. I got 3 sons that are here over the next couple of days. You want to talk to any of them? Fair enough. Go for it. Knock yourself out. At the end of the day, it starts here. And if I want to have a relationship that I have now with my 40-year-old son and 27-year-old son and 35-year-old daughter, if I want to have that relationship when they're 2 years old, I'm hurting my children. I am hurting my children. I'm setting them up for failure. I'm setting our family up for failure. You know, I'm not going to reason with my 2-year-old like I will reason with my 15-year-old. What a tragedy to get caught in that trap, okay? And too often, that's one of the models we see out there in parenting today, is wanting to reason with them. One of the terms is, disciple your kids. No, you raise your kids. You parent your kids. I disciple new believers. I will never spank a new believer. I'll sure spank my kids, okay? I have a responsibility to teach them how to change the oil, teach them how to do the check. I have a responsibility that so far surpasses discipling. Discipling is part of it. Yes, I want them to come to spiritual maturity, but I'm not going to truncate my responsibility to my kid by using that term discipleship. It's not comprehensive enough. I parent my children, okay? And it starts with this. And if I haven't established this by the time they're 2 and a half years old, I'm already behind the 8 ball. Those first months are critical in establishing security and order in the home. This is an interesting passage because I'm not sure if the writer actually was trying to teach us on parenting, but he brings in so many aspects here. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. Discipline is just obvious. This writer couldn't even fathom any father-son relationship that didn't have discipline in it. And if you think that's just, you know, spiritual discipline, you know, go to your corner, that is not going to come out in the passage. For what son is there whom his father's not disciplined? It's incomprehensible. He's speaking rhetorically. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and lives? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. Do you know what he's speaking of there? The finiteness, the flawedness, the wrongness at times. As parents are overthinking discipline, the writer here says, hey, they disciplined us as they thought best. In other words, they got it wrong at times. Waiting for perfection and discipline is one of the reasons that parents don't discipline in a timely way. Yes, we get all the facts that we can. Yes, we're not cavalier about this. Yeah, we're not just knocking our kids around when we feel something's out of place here. But overthinking it too, as we're prone to doing in this age, can slow down the appropriate time linkage between the act and the reaction, okay? And that's what the author has in view here. Shall we not much be more subject to the Father, Spirit, and the for they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best, but he disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. Realizing the limitations, the finiteness, the inherent flawedness of human discipline, but it gets us closer to bringing our children under subjection to our will, which is where it starts, and eventually the will of God. Okay, and I'm not going to walk through all these, but these are powerful statements here. Man, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And again, we're talking about missionary issues overseas in family relationship. Lack of that. Lack of that is huge. You just put a stopwatch. Put a stopwatch on the missionary family where the father feels like it's just not getting through to him to corporally punish. Now, we've seen even families come through Radius at the end of the 10 months. We had graduation last Friday. As after graduation, heard stories of, yep, they made a change for a few weeks, but within a few more weeks, they're right back to their habits. This is one of the best couples that just graduated from Radius. And we're not sure how long they'll be able to stay on the field, okay? Because it was a temporary adjustment. Their kid's pretty bright. Their kid's pretty bright. And that was their get-out-of-jail-free card, okay? I'm ready for next year now, even as we just heard those stories. don't withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with a rod, he won't die. You'll save a soul from Sheol. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child. It's amazing for me to hear parents so enamored with the quick-wittedness of their four-year-olds. Man, isn't he sharp? He's actually extremely disrespectful. He's extremely rude. Okay, he's extremely not under control. And to have those things returned in other ways is mind-boggling. You've all received those type of visitors in your homes. The rod of correction imparts wisdom and a better memory. But a child left to himself disgraces his mother. It's a very safe brain in our second son. He's standing right there. For the longest time, we had issues. Brandon says, I forgot. He's got these big brown eyes, and he'd just work his mother to death. I forgot. And we found it amazing how helpful to his memory it was to just beat the tar out of his little bum. Okay, man, his memory improved. Okay, there is some correlation between that and the memory. Okay, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Man, we've seen that. Parents that are going through the hardest of times in the ministry, their kids off at school, the separations only making it more difficult. But because they had established norms in the home, and they had established that this is from God, this is what God has for us. This isn't mommy, daddy bailing on you. This isn't New Tribes or the mission board making a. This is what God has for us, okay? And doing it in the best, the most positive of terms. Man, those families doing exceedingly well on the field in a very hard situation. I remember being down at the Pioneers headquarters in Orlando, Florida, and sitting down with the psychologist seconded to Pioneers, Frontiers, AIM, and SIM. And he went around to all their different conferences just to do evaluations on their kids, psychological evaluations. I thought, man, this is a gold mine. And I said, and I told him my background in New Guinea. And I said, I got to ask you, because you're the pro. And he had doctor, doctor, doctor all over his name. And what have you found to be some of the helpful factors in kids in difficult situations making it overseas? He says, there's not helpful factors. There's helpful factor, mom and dad. Take death of brother, death of sister, death, abduction, and death of dad. Put in the worst scenario you can imagine, mom and dad walking before the Lord Jesus. This is what God has for us. Kids can and do make it when that's in focus. If that's skewed, if that's not in focus, doesn't even matter. They can be in an ideal little house on the prairie situation. Kids will learn to complain about anything. If that's mom and dad, if that's where their hearts are actually going. So, man, to hear it from the pro gave me just a lot more confidence, just really validated what we'd seen 10 years on the disciplinary committee. Great missionaries, just not doing it in the mom and dad realm. And, it's so easy to throw stones at the boarding school, at the dorm parent, at the MK school teachers, organizations, our situation. I could give you countless stories. One, a friend of mine I went through training with, and I was on the disciplinary committee when we had to expel his first son from the boarding school. Brutal for our friendship. 2 years later, I had to expel his second son from the boarding school. He, as a friend, he's sitting down with me in one of the little Concom building offices up there, and just, you know, venting, pouring out his heart, and you know, sometimes there's a helpfulness to that, and then it just got pretty edgy, pretty agitated, pretty accusatory, and finally I had to tell him, bro, you know, about how horrible this whole setup was. There's flaws, man. I had 3 kids in the school. We had more. The Buser family had more kid years at Numanoi than any other family in the history of that school for a while. Maybe that's changed. So we knew the school inside and out. We knew the stories on the teachers. And I had to tell him, bro, you don't even believe that. Because if you believe the school was that bad, you'd take your last child out. He had a daughter that was still in school. Take her out. No, I don't want to do that. Man, parents are that issue that really causes families to make it overseas. And I say make it, come out intact. They might lose a family member. There might be tremendous struggles in those years there, but to where they come out intact, their love for the Lord Jesus in place, the mom and dad, if mom and dad are still alive, man, the marriage is in place, the kids have a positive relationship with the Lord Jesus and with their parents. I saw that to be the norm, okay? I saw others, okay, that didn't work out, but mom and dad were really the linchpin of that. Particulars of discipline. Yeah, we get into this. Timeliness, other reinforcing factors, body language. Again, we spent hours on these things, and you've seen this. Have you seen the kid put over the knee, and the kid who just sets fire to your pet cat, you know, and watches the cat run around screaming, you know, and then he sets fire to the living room, then he sets fire to the family, you know, photo album, and son, that's just a really bad thing you did. Yeah, that really makes me very unhappy. When the body language isn't in sync with the offense, you're creating confusion for the child. And teaching people how to discipline. Now, some of you have been raised at home. Yeah, that's craziness. For a lot of people, keeping control is that's the absolute. Well, no, your kid better see in your body language and in the tone of your voice and in the look in your eyes, that was really wrong. I should be terrified, okay? There's a helpfulness to how to discipline properly that makes it so that you're not always having to nickel and dime your son's rear end, okay? That just gets to be old work for everybody, okay? The kid and you, okay? And so doing a discipline in an appropriate way, we get into that. I don't want to take time for that. Okay, separation ideas, okay? And if you want to talk about how to discipline, you come up to me later. Separation ideas. Again, we had to endure a lot of separation from our kids. Preparing beforehand. Look ahead. The emotionally impossible might be what's needed. As mom and dad, look ahead. Look at your situation and the context you're in, the academic possibilities that are there. And kids can miss out on first, second, third grade and make that up in 1 year. Okay, and so there's just a lot of educating of yourself as parents before you pull the trigger on which course you're going to go down. To not allow yourself to build up such a mountain of emotions surrounding a possible decision. It does make what might be the best decision impossible for you. And you don't want to have your kid bearing the cost of that one there. The guilties. Boy, that was one of the things that we saw parents really not handling well. My kid's been away from me at the boarding school for 2.5 months. When he comes home, I don't want to put him to work. I don't want to. And so all the rules of a normal home go out the door. And it was just, man, the kid, they didn't say that to the kids, but that was the atmosphere that Johnny and Janie came flying back into when they landed back home. And, you know, it was just so unhelpful for the kids. And I know for many of you, you've heard me tell the story of the ditch, but we had this airfield, you know, airstrip that we cut out of the jungle and, you know, where we were. And we had 2 ditches on either side. And the one ditch that we dug at one time, and it kept itself open. You know, it just was, we had a lot of fall to it, and we never had to go back and redig it again. The ditch on this side of the airstrip had big boulders in it. And so every few months, we'd have to go down and clean that ditch. And the ditch was a horrible job. There was leeches in the ditch, kunai grass on the side of the ditch. We had conda coming down in the ditch. We had a gabillion mosquitoes. And every 3 months, I'd hire a couple of teddies to go down and do that ditch. And man, you were a cut, bloody, sweaty mess after 4 or 5 hours down there. And then an incredibly wonderful thing happened. My two little boys got big, and the ditch became their job. And when they would come home from school, Beth would always do pizza. We'd have Cokes. It was a fun night the first night. We'd go out hunting, you know, do something really, really fun. But sometime during the first night, I'd tell the boys, hey, tomorrow's ditch day. Tomorrow's ditch day. Yeah, and my boys are just like a lot of your kids. You know, you suck. You're the dad from hell. We hate you. Blah, blah. You're totally abusive. You know, just the total. You know, and get some thick skin, dads. Moms, too. Okay, get some thick skin. Be ready to endure the taunts and barbs and, you know, epitaphs coming from your kids. But at the end of the day, the next morning, I'd get up, you know, and I'd shake the bed. Hey, boys, ditch day. You suck, you suck, you suck. But, you know, letting our kids, you know, and they hated it, you know. And I had a reputation on the, you know, campus up there. Dad, you don't want to go to the abusers for break time. There are a lot of fun places, and these kids would skate around to different places to go have fun. Don't parent from guilt. Don't parent from guilt. This is what God has for you and your family. Oh, man, I actually heard missionaries. I was shocked when I heard come in when they were being asked to come before the disciplinary committee. God called me and my wife. He didn't call my kids to live here. Say that. Boy, do you realize what a free pass they had given their kids? No, he's called all of you. Okay, to be back there. He's called all of you to suffer for his name's sake. He's called all of you to endure hardship for the gospel. So nobody gets a pass on this. Okay, now come on, age appropriate. May that never leave our lips. As possible, they leave you. When we, when separation was coming, man, as possible, we always made sure our kids got on the airplane. We stayed here. We waved bye-bye to them. They got to fly off. They got to go do the exciting thing. Driving your kids to the school and them standing there waving at you as you drive off, much harder emotionally. That's just the logistical. You can put it in the mix, wisdom call. Talk to your kids. Teach communication. When we first put our kids in the boarding school, we had 3 minutes a week to talk to them on the shortwave radio, okay? And man, if your kid likes to play shy, they better get over it, okay? You need to communicate. We wanted to hear everything that was going on from the boarding school parents to the school teachers, life on base, who's doing what. We didn't want our kids thinking about, well, if so-and-so hears about this, my dorm parents hear about this, I could get in trouble. Man, you need to teach your kids to communicate. One-word answers, no, that ain't working. Yep, no, okay, yep, no, okay, yep, no, okay. No, that's disrespect. And so we have to teach our kids how to communicate. And the situation you're going to, what may be workable here, they cut home from school, how'd your day go? Okay, off to the room. That might be workable here. You know, no long-term repercussions. There, you're going to miss out on way too much. You need to teach. Things that we like to see, but we're used to overlooking, we don't overlook those in a context that these parents are going into. Don't wimp out on your kids. Don't go along with what the mission board just says. Man, there were times our kids brought reports back from the school base, and we had to get in. I had to risk my reputation. Man, there were things, my kids got it wrong. I better get all the facts. I better ask a lot of questions and not assume my kids are prophets, but not assume my kids, that my kids never lie. They told me this. Oh, gosh. They didn't, yeah, they lied too. But when the mission board has it wrong, you step in. You don't leave your ministry over it. You don't leave your ministry. You don't make that big ultimate threat. If this doesn't change, I'm out of here. You're called to do more than just straighten out the organization. Okay, you're there. Don't you ever draw that line in the sand in regards to your kids. Always get the facts before you side with them. Man, just on the logistical end, create a stable stateside home. My wife's from Michigan, I'm from San Diego. Early on in our years overseas, we had to make a decision. Where is going to be emotional home for our kids? Our kids seemed to do better in San Diego, even though we didn't have all the family support structure. They just seemed to do better there. And so, that became our home. That's really helpful for kids to not be tumbleweeds. Where's home? America. Yeah, we're just on the road all over the place. That's pretty difficult for a lot of obvious reasons. So, again, we've only got 4 minutes left. I'll stop here. Any questions? I got a few more slides, but I don't want to get through slides and avoid questions.
I'm so thrilled to hear the grace of God upon your family and the way you work. Was there a mistake, an error that you made that your kids would attest to, yeah, they didn't do it right here, but look what God did anyway? Just give us some hope for us who aren't that perfect.
Oh, gosh. I'll let my son speak. He's here. The list.
There are obviously mistakes. I mean, I don't know how nitpicky you want to get, but I mean, I've heard you guys talk about maybe Brooks when he was in first grade. You guys reevaluated that one, and when he was awfully young, and then I went to third grade, and Nat went up to boarding school when she was in fifth grade. And all, there were mistakes, but just always reevaluating, where, when it was best. And at that point, the mission organization was saying, hey, listen, your kid's going to be a retard if you don't send him to the boarding school when he's a fetus. So, how you guys evaluated that and kind of reassessed when Brooks was in first grade? Maybe that was a little bit young, and you guys got kicked back from that. He turned out normal. Stuff like that.
Yeah, we made a ton of mistakes. That's probably the biggest one that comes to mind. There were a lot of voices. The school uniformly was saying, man, the most important grade for your kid in school is first grade. You get them off on the right learning track. Made sense from their point of view. I couldn't oppose that. I wasn't an educator. And so we put our kid on the airplane when he was 6 years old. That was my mistake. That's me. And, I just buried my head and listened to a lot of people. And, but God's grace, we realized, and honestly, he did not do well. In fact, we got a tape from the school after him being up there 3 months. We hadn't seen him for 3 months. And they told us that he had epilepsy. And my wife and I, we broke down and like, what have we done? What kind of, screwball parents are we? We took an early furlough. We had intended to stay for 5 years. We had to cut it off at 4 years, our first term on the field. Came back to get him tested. Does he have epilepsy? It led to a lot of, very painful months. But as it turned out, it wasn't that. It was just, Dad, I didn't do my job. Okay. But God's grace, and I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, God's grace all throughout this thing. Brandon sitting on the door of the kerosene refrigerator and breaking the door off of the kerosene refrigerator. And I was furious. Kerosene refrigerator is life. That's where you have your vaccines. You have your food. The only cold thing you're ever going to have. And he broke the door off, and I just sent him flying. I look over there. There's about 5 E-Teddies in the house looking at me. God's grace. So you name the misstep. Yeah, we've done it. The others? When we were there, our first term was 4 years, our second term was 4.5, our third term was 5, then our last term was 4. That was ours. And what we'll teach students at E-Teddy is what's best for the church. What is best for the church? That has to be the number one criteria. Man, the church is what we're there to see happen. So that's why the variations in time frames. And kids' schooling was a factor, but wasn't the preeminent one.
How did you determine when to evacuate in those
danger? That's a whole big topic. We didn't actually have a choice. We did, but we had radio codes that you memorized. And when the code for us was, "Hey, we're having a golf tournament." Oh crap! That means get your passports, visas, get your pictures, get any legal documents. The airplane is on its way, and so you got evacuated. Yeah, there's a time. There are times where you shouldn't leave.
Do you have any advice for grandparents? I have children.
Also. Yeah. Tons of advice.
just one or two things. I just.
Yeah. At first, the first couple of years that your kids are overseas. They've been there 8. Sky's the limit. Knock yourself out. Okay. Hopefully, they know the languages by then.
But I mean, with my grandchildren, do you have any advice on how a grandparent? I mean, I back up what the parents say. Tell them that this is, God's big picture. But what else can I do?
I'm going to turn you over to my wife. She's a grandma now to kids overseas. And I don't want to violate everybody's time here, but great question. Hey, thanks, guys, for being here. That's it. There's nothing more on parenting. No,